off the ball.
GAA.
Not too many goals are scored outside the 21-yard line, and there's not too many players in the country that I'd back to score a goal from that distance out. Aaron Galan is one of them. He was outrageous at the weekend.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
You are welcome along to Tuesday's Off the Ball. It's Mick McCarthy here with you until 10 o'clock this evening. It's Champions League quarterfinal night. Real Madrid, Bayern Munich, probably the tasty tie of the night, but it's also a massive night for Arsenal in Lisbon. Their possible trophy haul for the season has been halved in their last two games. Keith Tracy will be with us in studio for the football show after 9 o'clock to see if they can bounce back. Also, Manchester United were in Dublin today, so we're going to hear from Brian Mbeumo and Amad Diallo after 9 o'clock this evening as well. The first real blows of the hurling season were landed by Limerick on Sunday, a 6-point win over Cork in the league final, which sets them up nicely for the Munster Championships, which starts in just 2 weeks' time. Jamesy O'Connor and Sarah O'Donovan will be with us after 8 o'clock this evening, and Andy Dunn will be in studio later this hour after Leinster made it through to the Champions Cup quarter final with a minor scare or two against Edinburgh in the Aviva on Sunday. Munster, meanwhile, are probably in full crisis mode at this stage after going 31-0 down to the Chiefs before half-time in their Challenge Cup quarter-final. 087-9-180-180 is the number to get in touch with us throughout the course of the night. Daniel Pitcher is here with us for tonight's news round. How are you?
Evening, how are we?
Arthur O'Dea also with us.
Hello.
How are you doing?
No question. Oh, I'm flying.
Yeah, just announce yourself. Okay, sporting teams in red, panic levels, let's rate them.
Mm-hmm.
Munster.
So
fan panic now. This is
so
this is
10 a, being let, a complete
let's presume,
panic.
Let's presume the professionals aren't panicking, but the lunatic fans who have no such obligations.
Yeah,
10 is complete panic. One, you're not taking it seriously enough.
10. Munster are definitely a 10. Their fans have lost their reason, I think, on social media. They're calling for all sorts of people to step down off the board. Yeah, I mean, and look, you can't blame them to a certain degree. Then there's people pointing to the Munster Supporters Club. And then, like, there's all sorts of fingers and hands being waved left, right and centre when it comes to Munster.
I'm going to say 9 because there is still a good possibility of them getting into the top 8 in the URC. And then I think it becomes an acceptable, let's see what they do next season.
Mm. But to not even get through the Europa League of rugby is pretty damning and concerning.
It was the way it happened as well. Yeah. They're 31-0 down at half time. And look, I mean, they didn't even play like all that terribly. It's just that they were cut wide open. And as me and Andy will talk about later, did they miss 4 tackles for Detroit just before halftime, or was it 6 tackles? That's up to interpretation of what constitutes an attempted tackle, I suppose. So Munster at a high one. Current champions of England, Arthur, Liverpool FC. Fan panic.
Fan panic. I'd temper it. I'd say 7.
7.
Only because they have, to their mind, a collective mind, it seems, a solution.
Okay.
I think 10, 9, 10 has to be like...
What's their solution? Sack Arne Slot?
Yeah, and bring in Alonso. Bring in
right, okay. I think that's a fair point.
They have a desired destination.
This season, gone.
Yeah, I still think they'll get top 5.
Yeah.
And that'll be enough. Then Champions League, that's fine. That's salvageable. That's a perfectly fine season. It's not what you wanted, but it's like, there's not too much lost.
Yeah, they're not going to win the Champions League.
I thought maybe a while ago there might was a chance. It's like, oh, you can pull it together a little
bit. The games in Europe are different and so on. Yeah, they're so
not
gone.
So much that
felt like a head gone moment on Saturday that's hard to come back from. Okay, so low enough then for Liverpool. Going back to you.
Mm-hmm.
Arsenal, who 2 weeks ago were going for the quadruple, lost the League Cup final in, you know, lame enough fashion.
Mm-hmm.
And then go out in the quarterfinals of the FA Cup to a championship team, and that's their last two games, and now they go to Sporting Lisbon tonight, or Sporting Club de Portugal.
It's certainly not ideal for them, and I suppose some of the images in some of the newspapers as well today of how the Arsenal players had been training at an open session quite recently would be a little bit concerning to the fans. Arsenal Football Fan TV is very much back, with people calling for all sorts of people to go.
I got to answer this one.
It's 10.
Six. Because, oh, really? Arsenal fans are all, they're in bits. They're in bits. They haven't won the league in 22 years. They're in bits. They don't know what to do. They're just seeing harbingers of doom all around the place. But then we'll also fight you if you suggest that they're in any way struggling. So they're just, this will help. I just think them mentally destroyed.
But if you gave them the position that they're in, 9 points clear,
yeah,
with
but that's not
however
how it
many
works.
Games to play and still in the Champions League at this point of the season as well, they'd have snapped your hand off for it.
They're favourites to win the Champions League, aren't they? They surely are with the route they have, true.
Really?
Yeah, well, I don't know by bookies.
Would one of the routes not be Barcelona?
Yeah, Barcelona in the semi-final. Yeah.
I think that'd be... If that is the case, I wouldn't put them past the semi-final.
I don't know. I still think they're in great shape, but I do think they're panicking. The fans, not necessarily the players. Although, I don't know. I just don't understand how they... Like, I know they put out a slightly weaker team and they have a lot of injuries that Mikel Arteta was very keen to point out are real injuries. But at the same time, you have to go and beat Southampton. Like, you know, anyway. Does the FA Cup matter if you win the Champions League or the Premier League? Absolutely not. But do you want to keep it going?
Nice flourish, though.
I think so. I absolutely think so. Okay, and then that leaves us with one more team in red, ranking the crisis for fans of the Rebels. They lost another final. I think that's 11 out of their last 12 national finals that Cork have lost.
Wow. That's great.
I should have that stat a little bit more certain on, but it's definitely in double figures and it's definitely only
no way
four.
They'll check that out. I mean, is five neutral?
Yeah. Five is like, I'm concerned. Yeah. But I'm not like, you know, running around in circles screaming. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, I'll put it to you this, I'll reverse it this bit. I'd say there's not a team heading into the Munster Championship that's not at least five. Just with their fans,
general.
So maybe if they're a modicum higher than that, but I still think they'll be. It depends how long you let yourself look for ahead, which again we were talking about ourselves, not the players and staff and stuff. If you're looking ahead, it's like, oh, geez, right? They weren't great on Sunday.
No,
and they can kind of. I'm always a bit suspicious. You can kind of wrap that up whatever way and kind of put it down to whatever. And it was this last year the league was important. This year it's not important. Whatever, and you can kind of tell whatever narrative suits. And that's not just them. I still can't see what the plus side is in being fairly well beaten in relative terms for that thing. I don't see what the upside is.
I'm concerned. I'd be concerned from a core point of view at the sort of relative neutral assumption, and maybe it doesn't come from pundits or from like really strong fans, but from people who just like hurling, there's almost an assumption that Cork are there, they're the best team, they just haven't. They're the young crown champions.
Ger Gilroy.
Ger's been saying it for 5 years, but no, I think there's more than that.
Train has arrived.
There's a lot of people who just think that like Cork are the young crown champions, they've lost the last two finals, they'll get over the line. They're building something. Whereas I don't know if Cork are necessarily any better this year than they were last year. No. I also think
I don't think they've been tragic either.
No, not tragic.
Oh, no, not at all. Even on Sunday they weren't.
That's this is a high standard. Like, yeah.
We're going to talk to Jamesy and Sarah in the second hour tonight, and it's all going to be about what Cork did wrong and what Limerick did right, as if Limerick hammered them out the gate. And it wasn't the case at all. Like, you know, so that's what I'm saying. I still think like Cork are contenders. Just this idea that they are just waiting to get it, to beat them, the only thing that can beat them is themselves.
Yeah.
I just don't buy it. I think Limerick are as good as them. I think Tipper are as good as them. I kind of think Clare are as good as them, but that might be a bias. And then we don't know what's going to come out of Leinster. Mm. So just this sense that they're just waiting to win it once they get out of their own way, I think would be worrying me as a Cork fan.
Yeah, I would. I think it's impossible to tempt fate, and you couldn't. I really think it's difficult to say anything with much certainty. I wonder if, to your point,
however,
if I wonder if the moment for that has passed, and that's not to write them off, because as you said, things can happen, and nobody would have had Tip last year, but they can come and win in All-Ireland. They have an All-Ireland winning capabilities.
Yes,
but
they have their peak already.
I wonder if some of that initial burst, and now it's maybe having to try something different, and maybe we see the benefits of that being reaped in a few years. But I just, the two times, like again, the two times they've played Limerick this year, they've been beaten semi-convincingly both times.
Yeah.
And you could, they'll tie it up, whatever. Not as strong as team, not whatever else. It's okay, but like, why not? What's the benefit of... Anyway,
I say something that I've heard mentioned nowhere? Like, literally nowhere.
Go ahead.
Patrick Horgan's one of Cork's best ever players.
Yeah,
now,
I know he's past
his best, and obviously he's retired, and you have to lose these players at some point. But the idea that it means nothing to them. One, he's a... Except for in the All-Ireland final straight after half-time, he's a usually 100 out of 100 free-taker, which you can't just automatically replace. He also jumped... What would you say he scored from playing the Championship last year?
Oh, I don't know. God. You'll have to tell me. Yeah.
315. It's not nothing, like.
No.
Do you know, like, it's in a short enough season. Like, Horgan, for his leadership and his aura, his free-taking, and his general being one of the best forwards of all time, is a massive loss. They're not stronger without him.
That's great.
No way. Mm.
That's a great summation of it, yeah. You're not strong without him. But who knows? Like, but it is, I am, funnily enough, the way Sunday went is even all the more exciting now for that first, particularly, not to write off the Clare Waterford one, but particularly Cork Tipperary on that Sunday. That is really a game of games now.
Okay. Bad week for teams in red.
Yeah, very.
But Bows drew 1-1 at Waterford. That wasn't great either, was
it? Yeah, no, that was quite horrible. And then
Waterford starting to pick up points.
Yeah, we drew on Friday as well. Now we've got, so we couldn't beat the team bottom of the table.
Shells lost to Rovers.
Shells lost to Rovers, yeah. Derry.
Slightly,
well,
Derry,
can you say that they're...
When it's red versus red, you can't. Crisis for teams in red. Okay, Daniel. A man in green is what we're going to start with.
Yeah, absolutely. Rory McIlroy, the master of Augusta. He begins his title defence on Thursday with Cameron Young and the US amateur champion Mason Howell for company. If you're trying to sort out your Thursday afternoon, they'll tee off from just 3:31 Irish time. Irish interest also will centre around Shane Lowry, who'll get underway at 2:43 alongside Dustin Johnson and Jason Day. Tom McKibben, who'll be playing with the Americans Andrew Novak and Brian Campbell. He'll get underway at 4:15. Elsewhere, John Rahm will play with Ludwig Aberg and Chris Goderup at 6:08 in the evening, while the world number one Scotty Scheffler is out at 6:44 with Robert McIntyre and Gary Woodland. So they're the big ones that will be teeing it up on the opening day. Now, in the past couple of minutes, McIlroy has been talking about what he feels will be the toughest part of defending his title.
You know, probably the 90 other players that are in the field, you know. It's the you know, it's a, you know, arguably the, maybe not the largest field in golf, but it's the strongest. And there's so many great players, and there's so many players with so much experience on this golf course. You know, it's not quite like some of the other major championships. It seems like you get the you know, a lot of the same guys contending year in and year out. So that's the challenge. You know, I feel comfortable on the golf course, feel comfortable with my game. It's been a good 3 weeks at home, you know, getting ready and you know, physically and mentally, and just trying to prepare for everything that this week is gonna sort of throw at me. And you know, I know that I can do it now, so...
Yeah, so John Rahm as well was speaking earlier on this afternoon. He expects to play for Team Europe at the Ryder Cup at Adair Manor, which quite surprised me. Doubt had emerged after he rejected a deal from the DP World Tour, which was offered to LIV golfers earlier this year. Meanwhile, back in March, the 31-year-old former Masters champion withdrew an appeal against sanctions and fines which were imposed on him. Now, speaking ahead of his first round at Augusta on Thursday, the Spaniard may also pinpoint playing at this year's Irish Open at Doombeg.
Like I've said in the last few interviews, we keep talking with the DP World Tour and trying to figure out a solution that works best. I didn't think that going the legal route and going to court was good for anybody. So I have faith in us and the DP World Tour. We're gonna find a good solution for both of us.
So confident you will play at Adair Manor?
Yeah. The Irish Open has been very good to me, and I would love to make a return. Wentworth has been fantastic every single year. Spanish Open, right? Maybe even the Dunhill. We have some other events like the French Open and the Omega. So those are events I would love to have a chance to play.
There you go, John Ram. We probably thought that might sort itself out, given he's Europe's second most important Ryder Cup player. But yeah, that'll be a bonus to the Ryder Cup. But saw Rory there just before we came on air, sitting doing his press conference in his green jacket. It's back in Augusta now. It's never going to leave again. That's it. He's had his year. I have to say, just seeing them actually there has made me kind of, I wasn't in this sort of build up 2 weeks to the Masters, 1 week to the Masters.
Yeah.
But now they're there doing the press conferences, we have tea times, etc. I am buzzing for this. Mm.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially like I watched the Rory McIlroy documentary on Prime the other night, and it was spectacular. And actually in points was actually quite emotional, and especially when his parents were speaking about his you know, how many times he's fallen away, and I think even when he, you know, towards the end of his round last year started to make a bit of a scuff of it, you know, his dad talking about having to go out and get his wife a drink and you know all of this sort of stuff. So yeah, it's fairly interesting.
I haven't seen this. It's a good doc.
It's really good.
Is it?
I didn't think it would be as good as it was.
A lot of access.
Too much access. And his parents, no, I wouldn't say too much, no. And his parents, and McIlroy actually spoke about this in his press conference today. They were originally against the idea of speaking on it. Yeah. But I'm actually quite glad they did, because, you know, Rory's dad was talking about, you know, all of the times when, you know, he'd disappear to Hollywood Golf Club, and, you know, he'd go there early enough in the morning, and he'd have to go around the buggy at like 9:30 at night and try and figure out what hole McIlroy is on at that particular time. I think it's really, really interesting. Like, I myself remember as a kid going to watch my cousin play amateur golf when he was playing on the Irish boys team with McIlroy and the likes of Shane Lowry and stuff like that, and you know, you were witnessing something incredible, and everybody going around going, oh geez, that kid has something.
Yeah, there's those sports people that you hear about since they're for a long time, and Rory was one of them.
Yeah,
Wayne Rooney,
Clifford,
Joe Canning, David Clifford. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And you're wondering, is when's the next generational player going to emerge?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, hopefully we have another few years of Rory yet. Anyway, I might watch that documentary. I decided recently to rewatch The Last Dance.
Yes.
I haven't started yet. I just feel like I keep coming across it when you're looking for something on Netflix. I'm like, I haven't watched this in 6 years. I was watching it week to week when it came out. It was the only thing we had in our lives during COVID. And it was like, and I watched it week to week, and it's like, I feel like I just need to binge watch this thing.
I can't believe you've not watched it again.
No, I haven't. No.
At least four times.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm due. Wow. Okay, I'll watch that and then I'll watch the rest.
Yeah.
Well, maybe if he's in contention, maybe I'll put Rory ahead and then go back to The Last Dance. I think it's needed. Okay, Champions League tonight.
Yes, the Arsenal manager Mikel Arteta has told his team to feel the pain of their recent defeats to spur them on in the Champions League after losing the Carabao Cup final against.
Isn't he?
Yeah,
sorry.
After losing the Carabao Cup final against Manchester City, Arteta's side were knocked out of the FA Cup by Southampton as well over the weekend in the quarterfinals. Tonight, they take on Sporting Lisbon in the first leg of their last 8 tie in Europe. Meanwhile, the other game will see a mouthwatering tie play out at the Bernabeu as Real Madrid plays host to Bayern Munich. Both of those matches kicking off at 8 o'clock. Now, ahead of the game for Arsenal, boss Mikel Arteta says his players badly want to make up for their slip-ups in the Carabao and FA Cups.
I think when you have the opportunity that we have, that has to be taken through excitement, through preparing yourself in the best possible way, to focusing on the present, on the things that we have to do. And especially in our identity, very, very clear what is taking us all the way to where we are. And that's where we have to focus. It's not philosophical. There are parts, and an identity is created by behaviors, not with words in the world or with things that I want to achieve. And we have so many facts in the areas that, in our opinion, make us the team and the club that we are.
Text in here from Patrick. Arsenal season is usually defined by what happens in March and April, and so far it's been a disaster. If they don't win tonight, it's time to lump on City.
Oh,
not that we've done
just
that
tonight,
kind of thing.
The first leg.
Just the first leg, there you go. Well, right. If they do lose 3 games in a row in 3 different competitions, that's not going to go down too well.
Yeah, I won't be lumping on though.
John in Dublin says, did you see that Rory said he didn't want any Irish food in his Masters meal as he wanted to enjoy the food?
But he's got mash.
The man has clearly never tried coddle. I have to say, John, Rory's right. Like, what is Irish food? Like, coddle and stew and all that. Sure, none of us eat that, really.
No.
Not regularly, anyway. No. You wouldn't be putting it on Like, is not our cuisine,
I don't think I've had
in that
stew
we don't have
years.
A national cuisine.
Or a coddler or something like that.
Yeah, I wouldn't hold that against Rory.
No, he's got Irish mash on the menu, I think, hasn't he?
Is he? I don't know. I didn't see
that. As an accompaniment, but something.
Another big game tonight?
Just a big plate of mash.
exactly, yeah. Now, meanwhile, so obviously those two games get underway fairly shortly now at this point. Manchester United, Harry Maguire says playing for Manchester United is the ultimate honour after extending his stay at Old Trafford. The England defender signed a new contract keeping him with the club until June of 2027 with the option of a further deal. Now the manager Michael Carrick says he's delighted that Maguire is staying.
Harry's obviously at that stage where he is getting a little bit further down the line in terms of career, but it doesn't diminish the importance of what he can be and the example and the understanding and a little bit of just knowing what it feels like to be here.
And the winger, Amad Diallo, who was, they were all speaking in Dublin today, as you pointed out at the top of the hour, he says that Michael Carrick is the right man to lead the club long term. The former captain, as we all know, took over in January. United had planned a wider search after sacking Ruben Amorim, but Amad says he's enjoying working under Carrick.
He's been very great. He's been doing so much for the team. He has a lot of experience and he knows the club. He has the DNA, so we think he's the right man, but we are really happy for what he's doing right now.
You know, gearing up for their comeback after their pre-season.
It's been a hell of a way, doesn't it?
24 days without a game, which is absolutely insane. Will you be going to the Leeds game in Croke Park? With the other 82,000 morons.
Leeds don't go down or win the FA Cup in the meantime.
Probably not, yeah. The other morons, yeah.
That's a quote, by the way, from a previous game, if anybody thinks I am calling you a moron.
No, it's funny, it didn't even cross my mind.
It will sell out. That's what I don't understand. Yeah. It's like, you know, people who are living and dying by, like, the, you know, the GAA, the football and the hurling and all this, and Croke Park never sells out except for the final. And then it's like United come to town, nobody seems that interested, and 82,000 tickets have been sold.
Yeah.
I was right, by the way. Ben's done a little bit of searching. Cork in national finals since 2005. They've played 12, lost 11, and the only win was last year's league final against Tip. Someone else, Connor in Limerick, league is irrelevant. No past top inter-county player counts the number of league medals they have. Many more teams have won the All-Ireland without winning the league than doing the double. The real season starts in 2 weeks. I actually very much agree with that in terms of hurling. If you're Limerick or Cork, in this current Limerick iteration, if you're Tip, whoever, I think it does matter if you've not won much. I think it could be seen as a good stepping stone.
The big thing after Clare's win was that they'd won the league. And that set them on the thing. It was like, oh, that's where it's all tied back to.
They got relegated last year without in the group. So,
And
Limerick lost most of their games in the league last year and then went out in the quarterfinals. It's not irrelevant.
But if it's irrelevant, regardless, why still not try to win it? Why does that mean, well, lose the games or don't care, don't think, whatever else, you're gearing up for things? I don't see what the compelling argument is for, well, we couldn't possibly show our best all year.
Yeah.
So we better hold something back the first half of the year and then hopefully we can show our best in the second part of the year. But if we don't show our best in the second part of the year, we're not going to look back at the first part of the year anyway.
And you may as well not show up.
I would agree, though. I do think you should try and win what you're in. And I would have that argument for teams, you know, putting out second teams in FA Cups, and I would have it in... absolutely, yeah. Well, especially teams that have nothing else to play for, you know. Irish cuisine is Supermax or a jumbo breakfast roll, says Owen. Imagine that. Imagine that.
Nice to know. Owen's listening.
Is that our own?
No.
Okay. Carlo Ward?
Yes, Ireland manager Carlo Ward is being forced to plan without Ava Brennan for back-to-back World Cup qualifiers against Poland. She spoke so highly of her quite recently here with Off the Ball. The Bohemians teenager will be out for a number of weeks with an ankle injury. She'd only just been called up for the first time. Also a blow for Carlo Ward is the fact that Lily Agg and Jessie Stapleton will also miss out through injury. Maria Reynolds from Shamrock Rovers, along with Shelburne midfielder Avian Clancy and Sunderland's Jamie Finn, have been called into the squad as replacements. It's an away game in Gdansk next Tuesday before the return at the Aviva Stadium on Saturday week. The girls in green badly need to start picking up the results following two defeats in their opening games.
Yeah, we'll have both of those games live on Off the Ball.
James McLean has been on social media a lot. He's been critically online, I'd say. He's hit out at what he's called awful standard of pitches in the League of Ireland, saying facilities in the domestic game are so far behind. It's insane. The Derry City winger has been was speaking rather after Monday night's scoreless draw, last night's rather scoreless draw with Sligo Rovers at the Showgrounds as a side slow start to the season continued. McLean says the greater investment in services, facilities and academies is needed to strengthen the league overall, and he believes improving standards at club level will ultimately benefit the Republic of Ireland national team. Plans are in place to redevelop Sligo's pitch, while Derry City is also upgrading their own playing surface as part of wider improvements. McLean came off the bench against Sligo yesterday in the scoreless draw and didn't play at all in the defeat to Galway United last Friday. Anybody who follows him will know that he's been quite vocal.
He has been vocal. We're basically out of time. Can you just quickly give us the Leinster injury concerns for the weekend?
Yeah, so Tadhg Furlong and Jimmy O'Brien available for the game against Sale Sharks in the Champions Cup quarterfinals. Both came through the win over Edinburgh with no issues. There are further assessments on injuries or will be needed to Andrew Porter, James Ryan and Gary Ringrose this week before decisions are made on their availability.
Okay, thank you, Daniel. Thank you, Arthur. The news round is brought to you by Viagra Connect 50 milligram film coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie, subject to sustainability suitability following pharmacist consultation.
Off the ball daily.